January 24th, the order of those present, we don't have a quorum established yet. When we do, we'll do the minutes. Currently, we have councilpersons Hartley Nagel, Sheldon Street, Cartier Wyndham, Councilman Smiley, chairing the Finance Committee meeting. A couple of housekeeping issues I'm going to take care of first. For those that are here and their notices out, but just since we're going to go into a budget discussion, there will be formal notice coming out shortly as to the departmental budget review meetings that we will be having. A little heads up, as of right now, tentative, we'll see if we hear anything back from the department heads, but as of right now, they will be every Monday from beginning April 3rd through May 15th. And again, the notice will come out. The two follow-up scheduled tentative council discussions that we have to follow that we instituted, the one will be Tuesday, May 16th, and the other one will be Wednesday, May 17th, because the tentative vote will be May 23rd, I think it's the 23rd, at that council meeting. So that's the tentative agenda for the budget meetings. I've placed in front of everyone's seat a sheet, and I want to go over it. First, the one is a repeat of an earlier one that we put out, the co-chairs of finance, just advising that as we enter the FY18 budget process, February 28th is the last day we can submit changes to, and chair recognizes the presence of Councilwoman Diller. What's your pleasure on the minutes, please?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that takes care of that. So, February 28th is the last day we submit changes through Mr. Boyle with whoever you so wish to work with, without legislation. The proposed operating budget changes, those changes legislatively, you can draft your changes anytime during the process, March 1st through, well, the night of the vote, which we have done that before. But the proposed capital budget changes must be submitted to the executive branch no less than 15 days prior to the budget vote. And as always, I recommend leaving a couple extra days if need be. So that's just an update on that. If you flip to the other side of that page, a little preliminary go through before I open the floor to discussion. The FY18 council budget as submitted would increase council's budget by 9.39% or $305,149. We don't have a lot, if any, members of public here, but one reference I always like to make is, you know, people will say, well, you know, 10% is a lot. Well, you know, 10% of $10 versus 10% of $10,000, there's a big difference in the spread. So you need to properly, people need to properly focus on what's the total amount that you're comparing it with. So a lot of people, yes.
I might add that we have tightened the belt over many years after the Great Recession, and have still kept the restraints on us to set good example for other branches of government.
And let's just say office budget-wise, as of this budget, the FY17, we're still not back where we were when we initially stopped everything. Mm-hmm. So I'm perfectly willing, you know, to acknowledge that. 2,868 of the 305,149 is council material and supplies line. Salaries and wages equals 5.22% of that line item, which is $91,678. Benefits equals 5.22% line item increase of $49,964. Cross charges is 6.5% line item increase of $8,639. Those items, and I was going to say that are uncontrolled, but they are controlled. If we have less people, if we do less printing, if we don't function to the standard that we hold ourselves to, some of that could be reduced, but I think it has an adverse effect. That being said, so with those three items, the total increase over FY17 is still 4.63%, or $150,281. So, and that equates to 49.2% of the currently proposed increase. The office account increase of a total of $52,000 equals 17% of the 9.39% increase. The $100,000 transfer from contingency to council fixed charges, because that's the line where it goes, is 32.7% of the 9.39. So in short, because I'm not sure where the discussion is going to go, but listening to what some of the comments were previously, if the office account increase $52,000 was deleted, it would take the FY18 budget increase to 7.78%. If the fixed charges of the $100,000 was returned to contingency, understanding that at least for me, at the end of the budget, if we haven't utilized that contingency, I would still be making the proposal that it be for the Youth Summer Employment Program. Not looking to hide a thing from anybody. Was deleted by the FY2018 increase would be 6.32%. So that's just kind of an overview and a detailed look at what the numbers are related to what we have proposed. Chairman, to recognize the presence of Councilman Hollins. With that, I'm going to end. Mr. Boyle, Mr. Rosenbach have submitted their budgets. Everyone should have gotten that and had access to that at least twice. So with that, floor is open for whatever discussion council members want. Councilman Sheldon.
Councilman Smalley, and it might be just me, you had to, again, I'm looking at two pieces of paper here. It says if the office account increases, where on the requested budget, I'm looking, and I just don't see it, the office, where would that be hidden under the budget, this one here, this piece of paper?
Well, since Mr. Boyle has to do the budget, but just let me clarify, it's not hidden anywhere. It's included.
Okay, I will take that back.
But it's the way we're taking notes or recording or whatever.
And I will correct myself while we do that.
Appreciate that.
But the office account, where would that be structured under the requested budget?
Go ahead, Jeff.
Jim Boyle, Policy Director. It is under the sheet you're looking at. It would be under the materials and supplies.
Materials and
supplies. Okay.
As you can see, we're at 54,000. The 4,000 times 13 is approximately 50,000.
Gotcha.
The rest is request for additional office supplies.
All right, so I'm going to put this down. Okay, and we're on the other one, the fixed charges. That's it's in fixed charges.
Yeah, it's in.
And that money came from
contingency, which isn't in the budget. Contingency is a separate account.
All right. Well, this has 266,000 approved. We're going to go
ahead.
You're going to minus 66 out of that.
Right.
To include that into the fixed charges.
Yes.
But you still have to come up with 44,000 more. Is that just the increase
the
we're asking?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
But it's an increase you're asking.
Yes.
Gotcha. Exactly. I just
want
to
write
that down. So
you're right on target, what our previous discussion was.
Of 44,000. Okay. All right, thank you.
Now, I just want to make sure everyone understands, because I know there are some council members who had wanted this discussion that, for whatever reasons, haven't made it here today. We had to, in my mind, we needed to schedule this earlier because we didn't know what would be on the finance agenda. But I, for those in the public surrounding, you may not know, all council members know, anyone wants to discuss the budget, if they've got an issue in advance, finance will put it on our agenda. No problem there. And if it's a last-minute thing, we're always available under other or the revenue and expense roundtable. So, I mean, what I'm saying is, Because we put it on the agenda today doesn't mean we can't discuss it going forward. Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. For clarity, you're describing on this sheet $100,000 transfer from our council contingency to council fixed charges. So that would be allocated under fixed charges towards summer youth.
Summer youth employment program, okay. Yeah.
You're proposing to replace the $100,000 in the contingency?
No. Actually, what we're doing is, and I apologize for the typo there. Actually, we're taking $66,000 from contingency, leaving okay. $2,000, then $44,000 would be included into the budget.
Okay.
For a total of $100,000, it would go to the fixed charges line for the to be transferred to the summer youth employment program at the appropriate time when the funding and the program was starting up.
If we are just merely running, changing categorization of funds, how does that add up to the 32.7% of the 9?
Because your contingency doesn't actually exist as part of the council budget.
Okay. I get it. All right. Good.
Any other questions? Any other discussion?
Yeah, I still want to go back to the fixed charges. That money, the fixed charges, is going to, how much are we going to give some of you, I guess?
The intent was $100,000 from day one.
All right. So $100,000 out of the...
But that's the line where it goes in our budget.
Right.
And then we do our legislation to move it at the appropriate time.
And we've done that before.
Yeah.
So then... So in other words, we would be back with the fixed charges would be actually 136.
Yes, if the 66 was moved back, if it was moved back to contingency.
Okay, so that I get that part, and the office, the materials and supplies, the excess for that is why is the income?
Why are we increasing it?
Yeah, what was said or what was the purpose of that?
Quite honestly, over the last couple of years, I've actually taken money from an office account at the end of the year to take care of it because we seem to periodically encounter some huge, and I mean huge, upticks in the copier charges that we get that exceed what's been allocated. So that's to basically cover what has become a higher cost trend that is there.
Okay.
And if you've got higher copier fees, you got more paper costs. You got more paper costs, you got more copier fees, you got more ink costs.
Gotcha.
On down the line. The only thing it doesn't affect is the rental, because the rental is the rental.
All right, thank you.
Justin Warner.
Yes, this may be to finance. The summer youth program gets a decreasing percentage of money from the state. I'm fearful that they may be just assuming we're going to always step up to the plate. Correct me if I'm wrong. Does anyone have the numbers over the last couple of years in round figures on the summer youth program financing? What was the cost last year? Let's start with that question.
From the state side or?
But from state, county, or any other private sources.
Chief Financial Officer, I don't have that information in front of me, but I know the state from probably fiscal year 2010, there was a reduction in the summer youth program.
Yes.
But they did increase, I think it's up to like $625,000. I believe they're taking a reduction in the governor's proposed budget. But I can follow up with you as to what those details
are. Yeah, I think council
would. Some is City of Wilmington, and then there's some to the other jurisdictions.
Yes, I think all the council would enjoy appreciate having those numbers, how we're trending over the last 2 years.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And I hope that the administration will consider funding this important program. It's a lot easier to, it's a lot more efficacious to fund summer youth program than to fund other social service or police programs. Not that there's a direct one-on-one relationship, but there is certainly a nexus.
You get that word for me to Google later.
Okay. Got it.
Councilman.
Thank you.
Councilman Hollis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As it relates to funding for the Summer Youth Employment Program, it has varied all over the place. And what council has done historically, we found ourselves making a contribution from what's ever left over in our account, which is not, in my opinion, the best way to look at Summer Youth Employment Program. Almost always, we don't have enough. No matter how much we get from the state or other resources, we don't have enough. We always turn away kids. So with council's comments about supporting that, I think this is a wise move, that it's a line item now. It's going to go there. It's not going to go there at the beginning of the budget cycle, but when that time comes, as we've done in the past, we've always looked around to try to scramble to put more money there because we know the challenge that we have. But to your point, we've had some successes with state funding in some years. In some years, other jurisdictions beat us out. So it could be Department of Labor, it could be the City of Wilmington, but I don't think the state even have a formula where they're saying in the beginning of the budget cycle, this is how much is going to go to each jurisdiction. It's always a competing kind of a pool of money, the way I understand it.
Thank you.
And, to be very, very clear, my motivation for putting this here, the motivation for providing the money is to help children in some of these programs. But the motivation for putting it here, quite honestly, was when I sat down there not too long ago, I was very disappointed to find out that the executive branch had funded $0 into the program last year. I think everyone that sat at this table was of the impression we were partnering in this program.
Yes.
Only to find out after the fact it wasn't. So for me, I know some are worried about, well, the state's going to find out you're doing this. Well, if anybody thinks they don't have people looking at our budget all the time, I mean, it's pie in the sky. But for me, it was throwing down the gauntlet, saying, you know what? Members of Newcastle County Council care, the people in Newcastle County care. We're going to find the money, and we're saying up front, we're going to find the money, we're going to take care of it. If we get whatever we got to do, we're going to make sure that we have it there. Now step up and do what you're supposed to do. That, quite honestly, that was my motivation, because I was very disappointed that day, as I think most of the members of council, if not all, were, to find out that the executive branch had backed away from a program that they had been promoting the 12 years I've been on council. It's been a big promotion every time. I mean, if you're not supporting it fiscally, why are you bothering with the applications and everything to put on the show? So that was me. And I probably opened the door I shouldn't have, but Councilman Street.
Well, yeah, you did, because end of today, I'm in a discussion with the mayor's transition team, and the former parks director bragged about he gotten the city to 400. 20 years ago when I was parks director, I had 1,200. And before that, in my understanding, haven't seen the papers, around 1,500. Last year, we as a county had 100. Well, see, kids don't vote. So nobody cares. But look at William Penn. That's 2,000 kids. All 2,000 of those kids would like to have a job. But, we can fund this, that, and the other. But we wonder why during the summer, kids are running around getting high. And then when they get high, they get into all kinds of trouble and don't have the understanding that the genesis of idle time ends up going, unfortunately, in the direction of drug use, drug addiction, and that's the genesis of a lot of the shootings and murders we had throughout the county. Now, to me, we're sending a message, making it clear that we're taking a major portion of our budget and dedicating it to kids that don't vote, and others should fall in line, including the state, because at $625,000 is just woefully insufficient to fund a statewide Summer Youth Program. It's just ridiculous. So, I'm glad to be a part of this council and this council stepping forward to make that money available. But I don't even think the number last year was 100. It was like 85. We as a county government, 100 kids at best, It's ridiculous.
Okay. No disagreement here. Councilwoman Dill.
I was going to say, Councilman Street, maybe that's something we need for the next community services meeting to get an update of actually how many kids we've served over, say, the last 5 years, so we can look at where we want to go in the future. Would you agree, Mr. Holmes?
Sure. It's always inadequate. That's a given. It, we always turn down more kids than we can serve. We just don't have the resources. But we can put as much as we want to put there, but we certainly don't serve anywhere near the kids that deserve to have an opportunity, but we're not the only employment source. I understand that as well. But as much as we can reasonably put there, I'm supportive of that.
Councilor Street.
And when you open that door, it's a state criteria, not ours. I'm going to come right through it and reiterate the fact. If I'm a single parent and I'm working two, maybe three jobs, and I make $35,000-$40,000 a year, I exceed the income standard, and my child is not eligible to participate in the summer youth program. And to have that level of cutoff, especially with kids who want jobs, need jobs, willing to go to work, I think the rule itself is just wrong and inappropriate and needs to be considered. That threshold is just ridiculous.
Councilman Street, I'm glad you mentioned it, and I'm going to follow up on that with, I think part of when you request community services to come to the meeting, to bring all the criteria, because if memory serves me correct, and I don't mean to be pointing at anyone, but if memory serves me correct, I recall community services representatives making a statement one time that if it's county funding, we don't have to adhere to those rules.
That's
and
correct.
It seems like I remember a discussion here where we needed to come up with our own criteria for funds that we provide versus funds that the state provide, so we can expand it to situations just like what you're saying.
Okay. And,
so,
and my limited
question is, where are we with that? I'm sorry.
My limited understanding is that was done, but as we're traveling down the road, and we know there's going to be some negotiation, some interaction with the state, that's one of the things I think we need to include in the formula, in terms of the things that we need to include in our priorities for discussion
to change
whatever negotiations we're going to enter into with the state, because it's just ridiculous. That's, as far as I'm concerned, a figure that's old, plucked out of the air, inappropriate, and just not fair to working families. I mean, I'm working two jobs, barely above the threshold of poverty, and you're going to punish my child, saying my child can't have a job because I'm working two jobs? It's ridiculous.
No dispute. Chance recognizes the presence of Councilwoman Kilpatrick. We are in the budget discussion. Matter of fact, I think we're winding down, but you have anything? I did clarify, just not that you don't know, but just to go back over, that because it's on this agenda does not negate it from coming up at any other meeting, being requested to be put back on the agenda, or if there's an item someone thinks of to bring up under the revenue roundtable or under other. But in front of you, you'll find the sheet with an updated bullets of the proposals, and on the other side is a detailed itemization breakdown of what has been, which we've discussed before. So,
thank you.
You want to enter in, or is there anything else on the budget for today? Councilman Hall.
I just want to express my appreciation for you taking the lead on this, because we have to start someplace, and oftentimes, as council members, we sit around in any given finance committee meeting and talk about what we would like to see happen, but I also appreciate you making the clarity. As some members feel that somehow that this budget is being presented today, that it's the finality. So any council person at any time can make any amendment as they so choose. But I think we have to get started, and I want to thank you for getting this process started.
Well, Councilman Irons, I always think whenever we begin the budget, or I begin the budget, Councilman Carter and I begin the budget look at, I always remember the day shortly after President Clark became president. And I was placed on the Finance Committee and was sitting right in this seat here, and we were discussing the budget. And Councilman Clark was kind enough to tell everyone, well, if you have any changes that you want, you need to get them to Councilman Smiley. And I remember my response was quite bluntly, and it's still on tape, oh, hell no. If you want changes, you need to work them. Because, number one, that is the right of every council member. But as Councilman said, we also like to discuss them in advance, especially when it comes to council's budget. So, okay, with that, is there anything else on the council budget for today? Okay. And then we're going to move on to ordinance. I have nothing under resolutions. Ordinance 17-001, transferring the local service functions of building inspections and property maintenance enforcement to the city of Delaware City. That's Councilman Bell. Is there anyone in the room that can speak to this?
Hi. May it please Council, my name is Chris Griffiths. I represent the city of Delaware City. And we have already passed a concurring ordinance, and we would put this before Council for final approval to transfer those two functions over back to the city of Delaware City. I just came to the meeting today in case anyone had any questions about the ordinance or what we're doing out there.
Okay, I just have a question. You're saying back to, so originally Delaware City had them, then it was transferred to the county, and I don't
know the full history okay. of it, but I believe there has been an informal handoff, and the council needs to actually approve it.
Okay, and I would just follow up to Mr. Milowicki. I don't know if you know, would this, not that it affects what we do, but is this significant enough that it would affect the change in the local service function?
And Milowicki from the Finance Office, no, it would not.
Okay. We still want your money.
Okay.
Councilman Warner.
Yes. Chris Griffiths, is it?
Yes, correct.
You said you represent Delaware City?
That's correct.
In what capacity?
Our office, well, Max Walton is the city solicitor
yes.
the city, and I'm sort of the solicitor's office, so I'm here on behalf of the solicitor's office.
Very well. So you're a member of the Delaware State Bar Association?
That is correct.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Why do you people drinking at the same bar this week? I don't know. Thank you very much. Okay.
So can I just go ahead?
Yes.
So even though the title says transferring the local service functions, that is just the function?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you want to respond to
that? No, that is correct. That,
just the function, not associated with the tax portion.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything further from me? Councilman Cartier.
You really want to do code enforcement?
Gladly, we will vote for that.
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe we get all the jurisdictions to do this.
Will you be at tonight's council meeting? I mean, there's need.
If you desire my.
Well, I don't think so, because I may have a floor amendment to give you some more. I don't want you to speak against it. Councilman White. Just kidding.
Just out of curiosity, Mr. Griffiths, so are there unique aspects of code enforcement that are like Arden's that are unique to Delaware City and you'd like to tweak the program?
Yes. As many of you may already know, Delaware City is undergoing a big redevelopment with the Fort DuPont complex, and we're talking with developers now. Our office actually represents the Fort DuPont complex as well. Mm-hmm. And so as that project is getting ramped up, we want to make sure that our building inspections and all of our code is up to par as we're dealing with developers and the other parties that we're going to have out there on the Fort property. And so this is more of a cleanup and get us ready for, we're actually going to increase the size of Delaware City significantly.
Yes.
Especially with the number of people out there. And so we want to make sure that we have all of our ducks in a row. So we spend a lot of time going back through our zoning ordinances and our building inspections. We've sort of revamped the code as well. I think we have a contract to do the building inspector portion, and the building code enforcement will be done in-house.
Very good. Are you adopting impact fees?
That much I could not speak on today.
Okay. Well, I wish Delaware City well, and extend our condolences to you.
Okay. Anything further on Ordinance 17-001? Thank you very much for coming.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Next on the agenda is the grant requests. Yes.
I will take the one for Councilman Taffet.
Format, you don't mean out of your account?
No. Some out of my account.
The Air Force Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps of Glasgow High School. Tackett, Councilwoman Diller will be floor managing.
Yes, this is a great event. I've had the privilege of attending for the last couple of years. I'm thrilled that Councilman Tackett is going to support it, and I would like to add, I would like to do 500, so Councilman Tackett would only need to worry about 2,000 on that. So I'd like to make a motion of $2,500 split between Councilman Tackett and Councilwoman Diller for the Air Force ROTC at Glasgow for their event.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting. Okay, next on the agenda is the Middletown Odessa Rotary Club. Councilman Powers.
Middletown Odessa Rotary Club is asking $2,500 for it to build a can-do playground in the Middletown Park. This is a handicapped playground for kids and adults as well. They raised $100,000. They have a $100,000 grant being given to them by the Longwood Garden Committee. And if they raise another $100,000, the total will be $300,000. They've asked for $2,500. Councilman Bell has offered to give us $600. Councilman Harris has offered $900, so that's $1,500.
So we need a motion.
Okay, yeah, we need a motion from a council member for $1,500, right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, I'll move. I'll second.
We have a motion for $1,500 in Middletown Odessa Rotary. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting.
Yeah.
Okay, next is the Warriors Help, Warriors Helping Warriors Incorporated. Councilman Powers.
Ruby Dunmore, Legislative Aid, Councilman Powers. Warriors Helping Warriors is asking for $2,500. This is a home that they bought on Broad Street in Middletown. They're renovating it to help more Newcastle County veterans than anybody else. There'll be an office where the veterans can come into and find out information on how to obtain certain services. There'll also be classrooms in there because they want to do some classroom activity with them to make them able to be on the street and maybe do some kind of productive services. And there'll also be a few bids for some of them that may need a short-term stay. They're asking for $2,500, and Councilman Powers will put up
$1,500?
Yes.
Make so a motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion for $1,500 to Warriors Helping Warriors Incorporated. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Not voting. Next, we have Everett Incorporated. Councilman Powers.
Everett is asking for $2,036 for a leaking patched roof and heat maintenance that they need to repair. And they have sent us in a estimate from someone that's going to be doing the work for $2,036. And that's what Councilman Powers is requesting.
So moved.
So 2,036, the full amount?
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion for $2,036 to Everett Incorporated. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Not voting. Next, we have the Middletown High School Band Boosters. Councilman Powers.
Ruby Dunmore, Legislative Aid, Councilman Powers. This is for the Middletown High School Band Boosters. They will be going again on January 1, 2018, to London to perform for the Queen. This is their second venture. They performed there in 2016, and they're asking for $2,500. Captain Bell has put up $1,250, and Captain Powers will put up the additional $1,250.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion for $2,500 to the Middletown High School Band Boosters, and we have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. Not voting. That concludes the grants. And I want to thank all the council members and legislative aides. Been a couple of bumps in the transition to the new updated applications, but everyone's been very cooperative, and I'm sure we'll have a few more bumps, but we just keep sending them back and make them do the right application. Next on the agenda is the travel request for the deputy clerk, Nellie Hill.
Yes.
Would you like to speak to this, please?
Sure, Nellie Hill, deputy clerk. This is a training program that the University of Delaware puts on. It's for municipal clerks. It's a 3-year program. Each year they do a different topics. You can see in the travel request that lists the topics for this year. It seemed like a good opportunity. You know, there was a lot of talk about training during the hiring process, and this seemed like something that was germane to the clerk position, and I thought that it would bring some knowledge back to council that we haven't had in the past. So,
thank you.
I appreciate your consideration.
I'd like to speak to this and beyond. With the discussion and communications that's taken place around this, and I apologize for some of that, but it's gotten me thinking, so I'd like to toss something out here to council members to maybe think about that probably should go by default to personnel, and that would be...
Of course. Tim, sorry.
I'm only looking for a path forward so I don't have to do Groundhog Day and relive things over and over. And my suggestion would be that Ms. Hill go to this, evaluate the program. Because I know I have gone to some before, I had to pay for it, and I'm sitting there thinking, why did I pay for this segment? Because it doesn't help me. This one does. Report back to council, and as a beginning, and this would apply if an aide or anyone else feels there's a program out there that may be beneficial to them, let's discuss it in personnel, take a look at it, and evaluate whether it's more beneficial for us to bring someone in to present to the staff, the aides that want to sign up for it, to have it here on site, pay for it once, there's no travels or anything, we're not losing someone, you know, day after day somewhere. Let's see if we put something like that in place. So my suggestion would be that we approve Ms. Hill. She report back to us in the same thing, evaluate it. I think it's sponsored by the University of Delaware. And if staff is interested, if they're, and pull those pieces that would supplement the workforce that we have here, and at least take a shot looking to bringing someone in. So just something I throw out there, and I don't know a whole lot about it. Councilwoman Diller, and then Councilman Warner.
Yes. I first became aware of the municipal clerk certification through Renee Bensley, who, as you know, was my legislative aide, has gone on to work for the City of Newark. She actually researched this and is going through the official certification process. So I was aware, mentioned it to Sue, and of course you will have another application for Sue coming forward in the next next meeting. My concern with only having one person is that, you know, part of this whole process is a certification. So if we just brought somebody in to do a seminar, the people who would take that would get information, but they're not going to be on any kind of track for certification. And I think that if we are really talking about education and cross-training, we need to offer everybody an opportunity to do training should they want it. People may not want it, but if they do, I think fair is fair. And so I will be bringing, you know, Sue has already submitted another travel request. We know it's going to be on the next Finance Committee meeting. And so I think, you know, as much as I respect you, Councilman Smiley, And as much as I respect your willingness to save money, even though you didn't fund the toilet paper for the women's room, I'm okay with that. But I do
24
feel...
24 squares.
I know.
We're down to 20.
Yeah, right, exactly. But I really feel like we have talked about cross-training, you know, and we need a path forward, and I think that fair is fair. If we're going to fund one, I think we have to look at other people for this as well.
I understand what you're saying. I just have a different perspective, and it's not because you're from my background where an employer provided training, it was specific to the job they were doing, and that's the difference.
Yes, I would say, yes.
See, at least I know what it is. Councilman Weiner and Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. I actually agree with both of you, and I don't think that they're antithetical.
Another word, write that down.
Bold in the minutes.
This is as a background through NACO and through my practice of law. It's good to bring in training to an office and get rid of one, but there's also a benefit in meeting one's peers and exchanging ideas, maybe not formally in the class, although you hear conversations through discussions in class, but you also have informal conversations, and it increases your professionalism and your educational skills for the job that you have.
Just a suggestion. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. And I think at this point, the three of us are so far on the same page. Personally, I think that education is good. And I think that with a request that we should very seriously consider any request that comes in that's related to any of the jobs within council. So if somebody wants to take something that relates to the clerk position, an aide position, a financed position, a policy position. At some point, we know we are going to go through change. We already saw Holly retire. It wasn't as if we were completely caught off guard, but we were caught off guard because nobody here had any training really to go into that position. We know Betsy's going to retire someday. We then have maybe one person that has some knowledge, but when Councilman Sheldon and I went through personnel and looked at changing some of the positions, we, if you remember, came back and said, hey, what if we cross-train X number of people and we divide up some of these jobs so people are an aide and another position? Maybe pushes them up a little bit on the pay scale, but it also gives them more responsibility and it gives us the security that if something happens to one of our staff members, there's always somebody else there that can take over. And I just think that, as in other companies, that we need to look at diversification in study, education, all of that. And Jim will retire someday, too.
Councilman Street, like I said, I'm probably better in personnel, but I thought it was associated. Councilman Street.
You all sound so eloquent and so diplomatic. What you're getting ready to do is have a $5,000 conversation about $700, which doesn't make any sense to me. Do what you want to do. But if you got employees who want training, who want to be trained, they should be given the opportunity to advance themselves, regardless of whether it's in their current function or not. And second, you know, as a daycare provider, and I understand it's just daycare, but all of us are required to have 18 hours a year.
Right.
Okay? Exactly. I'm doing well. The cheapest I'm going to get is $100 an hour, and most of them $200 an hour. So in terms of what I know about training and bringing folks in, this is cost effective. And what are we saying to the staff?
Yes, exactly.
In terms of how we really feel about how important they are, and we're sitting here having a $5,000 conversation about $700
well,
for people who want to advance themselves. Because, I don't get it.
Well, because technically, $700 a person, if 13 want to go, it's much more than that. So I think we're saying we want to help, we want to do it, but we have a responsibility to at least have an avenue for them to do it. And everyone may not need to go outside. There may be some that would work to come in that don't aren't a certification. And all I'm saying is, let's take a look at making that available, and we're going to need to eventually fund. Simple as that. That's all I want to say. Thank you for volunteering your budget. So we now have the funding.
Yeah, Bob Wasserbach County, auditor. I just wanted to say that in the accounting and auditing profession, there's different organizations, and some of them have free webinars or low-cost webinars so you can learn something sitting at your desk. I'm not familiar with organizations relating to other jobs in county council, but there might be some organizations that offer free or low-cost webinars.
NACO offers free webinars.
Councilor Street.
APA does, too.
Yeah.
I'm not
She's going to the University of Delaware.
No, she's going to Delaware.
Dover University, Seaford. She's not going to Hawaii and asking for hotel accommodation. Give me a break.
That'll be the next class.
Yeah. Where was that? Holland? Holland or where was the
Yeah. Oh, Amsterdam. Where Amsterdam? No.
No.
Amsterdam.
Denmark.
Castle Michelle.
Look, I don't want to keep belaboring the point, but I'm even probably going to go farther than Mr. Street here.
Come on, Will.
I don't know why, when it comes to training, my teachers, and after we got our apprenticeship, we had to go more. I mean, the HVAC people, Mr. Woods isn't here, they're going to University of Delaware now, because now you just click on this. Well, there's a program to get in there, and I'm going to tell you, electricians now graduate, when they graduate their certificate of apprenticeship, they get 60 credits of University of Delaware. They get 60 credits. Okay, they're going to be juniors, just an electrician, okay? But it's a lot more than that. I'd even put it in my budget. I swear to God, out of my office budget. But what education is not worth something else? If they want to take 3 credits at the University of, it had to be an in-state school, but an in-state school on anything, finance, I don't care if it's accounting, it has to help you. I just never seen the class, even a driver's ed, I learned something there. I had to expand the thing on heroin. You know, I mean, there's no police officers here. I didn't know, when you go like that in football, and heroin's the only 2 times your eyes go up and down and blink and so forth, the way the guy was going back and forth, your eyes go like that. I don't know what that helps, but I now know what a police officer does. So when you see a football, they go like this, and your eyes going like that, you know you're not wrong. So those 3 points, you need more. My thing is, as far as education goes, I'm going even further, saying they should be able to go anywhere in the state on some type of a thing. If you got to take it out of an office budget, then each council person has to take a look at that. I just
want to clarify, and I'll apologize to Ms. Hill. The discussion is not about travel, but I took it off because that was to make that leap to get a discussion started on. And for the record, those of us that had a point, remember when we first came in years ago and before we got here, the executive office had training dollars that any county employee could apply. And they paid, and then they got reimbursed or whatever they did, and that went away. So it was there before. So
after this, Mr. Vice Chair, can Mr. Boyle look into, because the unions have the contracts, they get reimbursed. They get reimbursed, and now this is the problem when we went out of stand. But we're supposed to be like the local unions. Why don't we get? And that's just from a union member said, I get paid. What do you mean? You guys don't have what? Yes. So there has to be something we can look into that, and I don't know how we work it, but and they're going for college degrees.
Well, for the record, when I was in my earlier days and I had to take my hazmat training and everything else, I wrote the check. Councilwoman Dillon.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve Ms. Hill's request.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pack your bag.
Enjoy that trip to Denver.
For the record, we have your travel thing here. Mm-hmm. If you're not up on Route 1 by 6, it goes up another dollar. I don't want this.
Route 1 just opened up by Dewey again. It was closed. Thank God.
Okay.
Point of information, we have a new council person.
Councilman Bell has joined us.
Thank you, sir.
You'll take one and pass it down, please. Packet. Councilor Street.
I know y'all ended the dispute, but since we started the meeting talking about council budget, I really think, and I'll work with whoever wants to work, that we need to put some money in our budget specifically for staff training, which that's most businesses do.
And that's what I said. We need to create a budget line if that's what we're going to do.
And so does every department. When we look at their budgets, every department has a line for training.
Keep one for yourself. Pass it down, please. Okay.
I'll work with you.
Next on the agenda is a discussion on the economic development. I took the liberty of putting this together. You will give me the latitude to go through. I'm sure there will be those in the room that are not familiar. So, if I may, before I begin, I want to place on the record that everything I'm distributing today regarding the Strategic Economic Development Fund is subject to FOIA. However, today, if you need it, just ask. In addition, except for the last document in the packet, which is the email that has created the need for discussion today, all documents are and have been available from Council's website, as are the recorded discussions leading up to the legislation being approved by Council and signed by the County Executive. First in your packet, and I took the liberty of placing on each one, the first page is the Council vote. Number one, this is Ordinance 16-015. Established the Strategic Economic Development Fund, and this was approved on March 22, 2016 by council vote of 11 yes, 2 absent. Next in the packet is Ordinance 16-074, which appropriates the annual 6% from the $3 million promissory note executed by the Delaware Board of Trade to the Strategic Economic Development Fund. It further requires that the funds can only be dispersed pursuant to the policies and procedures developed by the executive branch and approved by County Council. This ordinance was approved July 12, 2016 by County Council vote of 10 yes and 3 absent. Next, we have Resolution 16-148. Which establishes Newcastle County Council's approval of the rules and procedures governing the Strategic Economic Development Fund. I pulled one crucial point out of this, although it's all relevant, and that is 9.4 states final approval by council with the consent of the executive shall constitute official action on the part of the county demonstrating its intent to issue the approved assistance. This resolution was approved on August 30th, 2016 by a council vote of 12 yes and 1 absent. Next in your packet is the copy of the Finance Committee minutes of November 15th, 2016, the day after the latest council member swearing in process. This list under expense and revenue roundtable portion that the 6% payment was discussed. And this can be found in the recording at the 34.12 mark. And it was discussed that $180,000 was the payment, and that would be going to the Strategic Economic Fund, Development Fund. And then later we discussed that the appropriate amount, $15,000, was transferred to the Garston Trust because that's the amount that they were that fund was eligible for the amount of time the $3 million was out of that fund. So there's currently $165,000
in that account. Now, the last item, and the reason we're here today, is January 20th, 11:50 a.m., an email from Tamara Morris, who is the director of the County Economic Development, sent an email to President Nagel, Councilman Hollins, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, myself, Kathleen Jennings, Ryan Boyle, and Michael Bowser. Title is Strategic Economic Development Fund Request for Clarification. Please accept this note as a request for clarity regarding the Council's wishes in reference to the Strategic Economic Development Fund. Per my meeting with Council Members Kilpatrick and Smiley on January 29th, now understand, there is no Strategic Economic Development Committee as of that time. Until the County Executive made his appointments, this Council approved them, and then he sends over the official notification that they are now in those positions, and by virtue of those positions, they assume positions on the committee, because this committee has never been active because the personnel have not been there. On January 9th, it was my understanding the consensus was to move forward with the drafting of a grant announcement. We have three pieces of last legislation this Council approved, putting everything in place. The announcement would outline the intention to use a small portion of the strategic fund to provide grants for small businesses in New Castle County. Again, go back to the legislation. Nobody gets anything unless it comes through Council. And if you read the details, which we've gone over before, the committee reviews them, then they're forwarded to Council, and Council makes the decision, goes back to exec. Executive Moderator since received communication from President Hartley Nagel indicating she does not wish to move forward in this regard. In light of this information, I will discontinue the work in progress and wait to receive further instruction from Council regarding how to proceed. Well, Council, you're here today to make the decision and send the message. Do you want them to proceed in accordance with the three pieces of legislation that you approved or not? Council President Nagel.
I'd like to begin by saying that I am deeply disappointed in the new Economic Development Director and the County Executive, who grossly misrepresented, you know, what occurred. First of all, and I have emails to show, Mr. Meyer indicated that I contacted him. That is not so. He had asked through an email for me to have a conference call with him on economic development. I replied, yes, let me know. While I was sick with the flu all last week, Meyer calls me and asks me my position on economic development. Well, I've had a position that I've been talking about for a year and a half while I was running for office. I let him know what that is. And then I receive a communication from the Economic Development Director, this email, saying that I contacted him and put a hold on everything. I have no idea what he's talking about. I didn't know anything about an economic development fund, and he didn't ask me about an economic development fund. I don't believe that I personally have the ability to stop anything if it comes before Council from doing anything. You know, am I in favor of giving money out to companies? No. Or lending them money? No. But that's been a position I've taken, having nothing to do with the Strategic Economic Development Fund. So I asked my aide, Kate, to please print out everything on that yesterday. She did. I read it for the first time when I got home last night. I find out I'm on a committee, and that the Economic Development Fund can be constituted. I found out that Ms. Kilpatrick and Mr. Smiley in this email are meeting, but I'm not included when I'm supposed to be a part of that. And that an Economic Development Director put that email out to a group of people without ever having talked to me about economic development or my position, I am very offended. And that Matt misrepresented a conversation that he initiated. He called me while I'm sick and bed with the flu. and asked me about my position on economic development. So, you know, I'm very disturbed that this could occur without anybody checking.
It seems to me that there's some miscommunication between President Hartley Nagel and Executive Matt Meyer, which has nothing at all to do with what council has instructed to have happen here. And whatever that those negotiations are between president and the county executive is just that. But to have this misunderstanding, it seems to me that it's very, very clear when council takes an action, that action is to be followed. No matter how what other member of council may feel, whether it be the president pro tem, the co-chair of the committee, council takes the action. Council has taken all the appropriate action to set this forward. I think the clarity that's being asked of us by the Economic Development Director, we need to make it very clear that we want to want this initiative to go forward. We spend too much time on this. And for anyone who just got here, President Hartley Nagel, you can catch up on this, but whatever conversation you're having with the county executive and whatever misunderstanding that is should not interfere with the desires of this council to establish Economic Development Fund as we have and for it to go forward. In terms of you not being invited to the meeting, the committee has not even been set up yet, as Councilman Smiley has already said. The fact of the matter is there's a lot of things that are going on, and some of these things happened before you came on board. To the extent that you don't want to be caught up on these things, I think it would do you a lot of good to get caught up on it before you take any unilateral action, as this memo suggests that you did. That's not going to be tolerated. And if this is incorrect in what's in this memo, then I think you need to follow that up with the county executive.
I absolutely will. It is incorrect. We never talked about this.
And redo what we've done to start all over again from scratch. That is not going to happen.
But what I did do is follow up with doing a little bit of research on it, on the state code, and I will pass these out, which is Article 8, Revenue and Taxation, Number 8, Section 8, note lending credit appropriating money to or becoming interested in any private corporation, person, or company by county or municipality. Section 8, no county, city, town, or other municipality shall lend its credit or appropriate money to or assume the debt of or become a shareholder of or joint owner in or with any private corporation or any person or company whatsoever. Well, I'm not an attorney, but does that speak to the same thing that we're discussing right now?
We've spoken to this with all the funds from the Garson Trust. We've spoken to this when we started the DBOT. So the fact of the matter is, this stuff has nothing to do with the action that council has taken. This is a legal interpretation, I guess you have, that you found in the code. We've gone through that. My only point here is let's talk about the issue on the table, and that is we have approved to set up this economic development fund. We want this to move forward without any interruption from anybody on county council or from the executive branch for that matter. So my only concern here is that we're going to move this forward. So any question that needs to be asked in this forum or asked offline. But no one should take it upon themselves to interfere with the intent of this council without a vote of this council.
Well, I will tell you that I have not interfered. I have an opinion. Matt asked me my opinion.
We all do.
And nobody is going to tell me that I can't, you know, talk about that opinion, which I will be talking about. I don't believe that we should be doing this. That's my opinion. I didn't ask anybody on council to talk about it or take that position or hold anything up. In fact, the best of my knowledge, since I've been here, it has not come before council to make a decision.
But I'm going to jump over
it
here.
Has.
It's going to be positive. As I stated in my brief, the minutes will show, the day after the swearing in, we had committee meetings, we had a council meeting, and discussion was held then on the 6% going into the Strategic Economic Development Fund. So it was discussed with you in the room.
I do not remember being discussed.
Well, the recording
is available. And so I caught up on it last night. I read all the meeting minutes. I found out what happened. You know, I read all the legislation that was available on this. So now I am informed. But I was not informed.
And
we did not discuss that, Matt and I.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Councilwoman Diller.
Okay. Thank you. 2 points. First of all, the committee has not been formed. There is no committee. We have set the legislation in place as to who would be on the committee, but there is no committee. Councilman Smiley and I, as we have done from day one, have been tasked with going forward on writing the legislation to put all of this in place. Once we get to the point where we understand what the application, which is the next step in the process, is going to look like, then a committee will be formed so that we can put out the word that we would be either giving grants or loans or some specifications that is yet to be determined. Once we get the legislation written with the department, it will come back to council, and council, the majority of council, will have to approve, yes, this is the criteria that we would like to see on the application, or it's not. So we are not even at the point yet of putting together a committee. This goes back to any council person has the right to work with any department in the administration to write legislation. We have always said, if it comes over from the department or from the administration to the committee, then the chair, co-chairs take it. If you as a council person work on something, anything, doesn't matter if anybody else likes it or not, it will come over through the person that worked on it. They will be the sponsor or co-sponsor, and it will again be presented to council for a vote. So this is kind of jumping ahead. We personally discussed that hopefully by the beginning of May, we would have the process underway and have the ability to give out a couple of grants in sort of a pilot program to see if it works, to see if there's interest, to see if we've got the criteria correct. And that's where we are right now. We are following the same process that we did for every single piece of legislation that we worked on and we brought over to this council.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, President Hartley-Nagel, you are new. People have interests here. They have things that they are working on. It is not an intent of not talking to you about it. It's just that, you know, people move forward on projects, and probably, you know, the best way to make sure this sort of thing doesn't happen again is to check in with the chairs and just say, is there anything you're doing that's interesting? Would you like to sit down and talk about it? I think that there's ways of, you know, and part of it is I'm listening to this conversation, and I realize now we all kind of know each other because we've been around for a while. And so, you know, I would have no hesitation calling somebody up and asking them about something and say, hey, I don't remember what we did with this. Can you catch me up on this? I would call anybody here and do that. So I think that, you know, this is, it sounds like it was unfortunate, but I also think there's a way to resolve this. And we're just, you know, it makes me aware that I need to talk to you about things maybe I've got in my head, because I've been serving with Councilman Hollins on, you know, on community services for a while. But I think we all realize when we have somebody new, at least as a result of this, to just try and make an extra effort to talk to each other. And that's all. That's the only thing. It sounds like a big misunderstanding, and I hope we can all begin to move on.
Well, if I may, I'm not going to get into the misunderstanding, whatever, between Ms. Nagel and Mr. Meyer. The two of them can work that out. But I am going to say right here, because we've got four more years, I actually also have an issue with the county executive. He's got an entire law department. He's got his advisors. He's still got Marcus Henry on the payroll. And he's got three pieces of legislation that they're aware of that this council will approve. I understand Ms. Morris's apprehension, but for the county executive, he should have had those three pieces reviewed, and regardless of the discussion that took place, council sent the message. And that's what he should have been looking at. That's my opinion. But yes, move forward. I guess what I'm asking for here is for a motion to advise. Do we have enough people from the executive branch here to take the message back?
We have a key person here. That is the Director of Economic
Council Development. Council wants the Strategic Economic Development Fund formulation process to move forward. That's my motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Okay. Anybody have anything for the expense? Oh, Councilman Street. I'm sorry, did I cut you short, sir?
I'm concerned. I'm genuinely concerned about everything that just transpired. We all know that there's a fiscal crisis in the state that has a potential of impacting the operation of this government. And we all have a responsibility to step up as leadership and council did last year, going into the fiscal year and the potential for a real estate transfer. Election's over. I don't care who like who doesn't like who, election's over. To the victors go the spoils. But to all of us, there's a responsibility to do what's right and appropriate for the immediate and long-term operation of this government. And I don't care what you say. Be your position right, wrong, or indifferent. The perception of a problem and the perception of management and leadership not being able to work together sends a message to Dover that they're divided and that we can do what we want to do. And I'm saying all that to say, election's over, and we're going to have to find a way to do a better job of getting along and working together, whether we agree or not. We're going to disagree, but we've got to find a way to disagree without being disagreeable and work together on the things we can agree on as council and executive branch to do what's best for this government and the people that put us in office. My opinion is this just can't happen anymore, because who's going to be impacted are the folks that put all of us in office. So, you know, well, I give deference to Rodney King, and we got to find a way to get along.
Well, you know, Councilman Street, I agree with you. It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen again. I hope it doesn't happen again. But you know what? If you don't shine a light on it and stay under the cover of darkness, it does happen again and again and again. So I can work with anybody. I've shown that the last 2 years or more. And I'm willing to continue to do that. But again, I got an email, requested action. That's what we did. And that's why it's here. There's nothing under the cover of darkness. We're here discussing it. But I say yes, we move forward. Councilman Street and Councilman Cartier.
I'm just going to make a suggestion. And there are representatives from the exec here. And maybe one consider how you interact with this council. And maybe interacting solely individually is not a good idea. And one of the things that I saw that I thought worked productively during the Coons administration was he would meet with several folks at a time. He would meet with committee people, and everybody was well informed. But in an effort to eliminate everybody not being armed with the same information, maybe we want to look at a way to improve communication so that everybody's informed, and then we can agree where we can, but it doesn't get to this level where we're calling names and throwing stones, and quite frankly, when it's reduced to, you know, what you say about the county exec's one thing, but what you say about the staff person is another. I think they're two different standards, and staff shouldn't be impacted like that over disagreements that we have.
For the record, Councilman Cartier will be next, and then I'll get you. For the record, I didn't call any names, although 2 weeks ago, although 2 weeks ago, I did read an article in the paper said those, that the use of a large amount of profanity can be a sign of intelligence. So I think I'm the smartest person in the room right now, except maybe to you, Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. Certainly, council went through a rigorous process after we were plunged into the relationship with the Delaware Board of Trade to and in the wake of all the business disinvestment in the county, to try to do something and create an economic development fund. And certainly Councilman Smiley has all the relevant ordinances and resolutions with all the votes, and I was one of those going along, and the horse kind of left the barn with this. But I want to tell you something. As I read this section of the Delaware Code, I have reservations, and I'm not trying to throw stones at anybody or anything, but I would like to see a legal interpretation about our compliance under Delaware Code with this issue of economic development and disbursement of funds.
I don't mean to laugh, but we can send you a request over to the county attorney, since that's the one that reviewed it and approved it over here. Well, Council President Nagel and Councilman Isles.
Yes, I just want to respond to me addressing a staff member, the economic development. If any staff member puts in writing and sends it to a group and misrepresents a conversation I had that they were not a part of, I will be addressing it each and every time. Just for the record, I'm not going to tolerate that. I mean, in one way, Councilman Smiley is right. If they're going to do that, shine a light on it. I mean, I have emails that disprove what was in that email that was sent.
Yeah. Councilman Holland, Councilman Kilpatrick, Councilman Street, and then if...
I'm sorry, okay, we're still dwelling on this issue.
No,
but
I know.
Feel compelled to say something, because it's going way beyond what I think the intent was here, and that was to give clarity of council's position.
That's all it was.
All this other stuff that's going on is just another, a lot of stuff that's going on. And people have opinions, and some people are more passionate about certain issues than others. But the fact of the matter is, we received the email. Action needs to be taken. How we got to this point, I do not know. But it's clear that there would not be any action going forward with council's intent until there was clarity from council. And that's what I'm concerned about us doing, and equally concerned that it doesn't happen in the past and in the future. And I agree with you, Councilman, that to some extent, for the county executive to take the opinions of one member of council, whoever that member is, and assume that's council's opinion, there's something wrong with that. So I think the county executive is far more intelligent than that. To have me or any other member of council say, this is what I want you to do, and then you stop without without realizing the intent of council, I think that's problematic. So I think that that in itself leads to me to believe that there's some bad communication going on, or some people are acting outside of their jurisdiction. But the fact of the matter is that we all want to get along here, I do believe, but when there's something as egregious as this is going on, it needs to be addressed. And everybody's trying to find a solution and a way for us to get along, but even Councilwoman Diller. I mean, I may be working on something and don't want to tell anybody, no other members of council, until I get to a point where I think I'm ready to bring it forward. So everybody's making an effort. But something like this, I think that we've worked too long and too hard. There's too great of a need for economic development in this county, especially for small businesses that we plan to address here with this, for it to be stopped. And I just wanted to move forward. All the other conversation, to me, is just other conversation. To answer the request from the Economic Development Director, I think is my only focus here.
Well, Councilwoman, and I think we've done that. Councilwoman
yes.
Kilpatrick, excuse me.
I can defer.
Yes.
Samara Morris, I'm the Director of Economic Development. I just wanted to clarify, my position on sending the email was both personal and professional. I did not want to get in the middle of what I deemed as possibly a misunderstanding or disagreement within council. When Executive Meyer called me in his office and said that he had spoken to President Hartley Nagel and she did not want to move forward, she was not interested in spending the money, I asked him if he felt it appropriate that I reach out to confirm that we were all on the same page. The reason I chose to do it via email, again, was personal and a professional decision to have a paper trail of exactly what I was saying to each person that I felt needed to be contacted. I don't think even now reading this email that in any way it comes across as a negative email. I simply wanted it, and I did not want to be, and the reason that so many people are on there is I wanted everyone to get the same message. I wasn't questioning anything. I simply wanted to make sure that I wasn't in the middle of any type of internal turmoil that was happening in reference to this, if there was a disagreement in regards to moving forward. And that's why I sent it. Executive Meyer in no way indicated that he wanted me to stop. I simply said, I'll just wait to get simple clarification that we are continuing to move forward the way that I understood it. So it wasn't my intention to be, to hurt anyone's feelings, to be disrespectful. Being new in this role, I actually called for clarification on how I should respond. And that's what I did. So if that was the way that it was came off to you, Madam President, that was absolutely 100% not my intention. And that's why you were included in the email. I wasn't privy to your conversation with Executive Meyer, and I indicated that the information I got, I simply would like clarification on it, and that's what I think the purpose of bringing it up today was to do.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Street, then
thank
President
you.
Nagel, and then I'd like to move on if we can.
The bottom line for me here is that absolutely no one has the right to interfere with another council person's work. Done and over with, period. If you're working on something with our attorney, with somebody in the administration, with one of their attorneys, it doesn't matter. No other individual council person has the right to interfere in what you're doing.
And that's my feeling exactly.
Councilman Street.
Sound like to me y'all bent and determined to keep on fighting. And that's the will of council be the will of council. My immediate concern is in response to Councilman Cartier as to whether or not this is legal or illegal. The question that's going to be raised and that we're going to be confronted with is separate and apart from everything else. What are we going to do above and beyond what we're already doing to generate revenue? And I think our economic development plan, our economic development strategy is going to be critical to us being able to say we're doing the best we can, we're acting in good faith, and this is our plan, and as opposed to somebody stepping in and taking everything from us. I think we have to have some kind of economic development plan, and the only way that happens is if we find a way to work together to accomplish it.
And we will. President Nagel.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I spoke to no one on council about economic development. I spoke to Matt in a private conversation when he called and asked me what was my personal opinion. I gave him that. That is not, as it's being characterized, interfering with anybody else's work. I mean, this is my opinion. I'm out there talking about economic development every day to many people. I've met with a great deal of people, finding out what's important to them. What can we do as a county? What is our role? How can we help you? And I'm hearing a lot of different things. And those are the things that I would like to focus on. And not just this piece. You know, this was not, this totally took me by surprise. I had no idea what they were talking about in that email when I got it, because that's not what I was talking to Matt about. So, you know, I just want to make it very clear, you know, I don't want Councilman Kilpatrick saying I'm interfering in her work. In no way did I interfere with anybody else's work. And I don't expect anybody on council to interfere with what I'm doing or my opinion. You know, and I will extend the same courtesy to everybody here as I have.
Anything under expense or revenue roundtable? Okay, I have under other three quick things. It's my extreme pleasure to advise council that following the last special election that council had to pay for, we got a refund of $330.05 from the Department of Elections.
Whatever. That's great.
However, hold your emotions, because the check has not cleared yet, but we're working towards that end. Also, just a little heads up. The next finance meeting on Valentine's Day, please don't bring chocolates, I do accept cash. We have two presentations I think council members will find especially relevant? Well, I hope to. I haven't gotten a response back on the second one yet. That is a yes? Okay. We will receive the first checkbook presentation from the new administration. And in addition, in light of the discussion in Dover a couple of weeks ago and what's been going around, we're going to get a presentation. I think we've done this quite a few years ago, but we're going to do it again as to exactly how the assessment process would take place and estimated cost, but exactly how it would take place and how it would work. So that would be on the February 14th finance agenda. Is there anything else? Anything from the public? Yes, sir. Please identify yourself.
Sir, Lincoln County Council. I'd like to thank the council for their kind consideration and the continuing education for its employees. And I'd like to make a suggestion that the $300 refund be a good starter fund for our education fund. And,
let me know how you made out on your trip to NACO with the boss. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.